You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and as it's Wednesday, I'm speaking to Scott Glue, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. I want to give you a piece of advice, Scott. I'm slightly older than you, as you know. Don't, in this time of quiet and stability on world markets and the JSE, don't get fiddly. Don't try and do things when there's nothing to do. Just enjoy the quiet stability and do other things with your family or whatever you do, for golf or cycling, whatever it is. That is my advice to you. You're not going to take it, though, are you?
You know what? I'm actually one of those people that do agree with you and happily do nothing, like when Warren Buffett coined the phrase by saying, when in doubt, just do nothing at all.
Very good.
But I mean, I know there's a client of mine, and he listened to this podcast, so he's most probably going to phone me up tomorrow.
Give him a shout out. What's his name? Oh, you can't, because it's obviously confidential.
No. He's not going to like what I say now, but it's exactly what you said. I mean, he phoned me up and says, this market is just pathetic. It's just doing nothing. And I went like,
perfect.
Yep. Then join the market and just do nothing. Don't go and try and find something to do. Because like you just said, Lindsay, trying to find something to do get you, most probably in trouble rather than get you something.
Absolutely right. What is that thing about Nero and Rome? Nero fiddles while Rome burns, or something like that. It's not exactly the sentiment I was trying to put forward, but just occasionally be quiet. It's nice to have nothing to do. I love doing nothing. It's what I've made myself famous for. But otherwise, this is how I see things. Interest rates are going down worldwide. Okay, the oil price is slightly problematic. We'll come to that later on. But the dollar is going to go down because interest rates are going to go down. The commodity prices are going to go up because interest rates and the dollar are both going down. So there's going to be a commodity cycle that will positively impact the South African economy and the JSE Securities Exchange. And I don't think you can get much simpler than that. So enjoy it, please.
Yeah, so I'm gonna share my. I just finished writing my report yesterday for this month, and it will be going to the press hopefully by Friday. So I'm gonna share with you and the Strictly Business listeners, my insights, and I thought to just sort of share your view now. So when I wrote this, and I've been walking with this sort of deja vu feeling for the past few weeks, and you and I have been talking about, we've been here, we've been talking about tech stocks and commodity stocks and gold and dollar and interest rates, and I've often used an example that I feel very similar to what I felt there. Let's call it begin 2000. So let's just park for a second. I'm going to give you a little history lesson, and this is going to be a one that, as you mentioned, you maybe 1 or 2 years older than I am. So you've been there, done that. But
well, I've been there, but I haven't done it. Anyway, go on.
So we late 90s. And during the 90s, you had the S&P 500 where, the top three stocks, they actually, I would say, at the highest, they've reached a weight of, let's call it 8%, 7-point-something% there in the 90s, which still would say, if you take 500
weighting in the S&P 500, in other words, there were three stocks that constituted 8% of the market capitalization of one of the world's biggest stock market indices. That's what you're saying.
Correct, but I'm taking it further because those three stocks, they aren't necessarily the same, because this month it might be 1, 2, 3, and next month it might be 5, 2, 1, because they do change in share prices, therefore their market caps change. So, but by the turn of the century, and more specifically 1st of January 2000, we had what was referred to the tech bubble. So you had three stocks that on that stage was Microsoft, the largest,
yes,
General Electric, which people tend to buy because they're thinking this is, you know, they're buying it because computer parts and part of electric parts anyway. But and the third largest was Cisco Systems, and I'll mention the fourth just for shifts and giggles. It's Intel, but which is also a tech stock. But why was that important? And this same person, yeah, now he's going to know exactly who I'm referring to.
Okay.
He called me up, and this is why we actually had the conversation. He called me up and he said, "Scott, I went to a AI presentation, and I need you to go and identify the top AI, stocks or companies that will benefit the most out of AI because AI is going to take over the world. It is going to be much bigger than we see. This is only in its infant stage." And then it just hit me. Boom. This is exactly what I just written. Because
very good.
2000, you went into a presentation and everybody came out and said, the internet. Lindsay, the internet is going to take over everything. It's going to take over the world. In a few years' time, you're not going to be banking, you're standing in a line and doing your banking. You're not going to do payments. You're not going to do purchases. You're not going to do bookings. Everything is going to be done via the internet. And man, oh man, with those people that said that, you know, in late 90s, let's call it beginning of 2000, they were spot on. They called it 120%.
They called it correctly, but unfortunately, in March or April of 2000, all the enthusiasm and euphoria around anything that had any that had the word internet in it, you could have put Skalk Low Internet Corporation on the JSE, it would have gone up five times on its listing. But of course, it wasn't like that, Skalk, because some of these companies were rubbish. So what happened? The NASDAQ crashed.
That's it. I'm going to give you the actual facts, but you know, if you can measure it, you can manage it. So Microsoft, over exactly that two-year period, so basically 31st December 1999 to 31st December 2001, and over that two-year period, Microsoft dropped by 56%, General Electric dropped by 53%, and Cisco Systems dropped by 76% over a two-year period. Mm. Now, any young investor would listen to this and say, "But this is crazy." I mean, that's thinking you can have a Microsoft that suddenly will lose, you know, more than half of its value currently. Apple, that's currently second largest, could lose, you know, 50 to 60% of its value. And NVIDIA could lose 76% of its value. That's impossible. I mean, just by the way, those three companies increase the top three companies, the company weights according to market a cap inside the S&P 500 carried a weight over that time. That's called the 1st of January 2000. Went up to 11% of the total index. Hoo-ha. That's nothing. Now, as we sit here, Lindsay, NVIDIA, okay, let's use largest. Microsoft, it just popped up. Microsoft just reached new all-time highs.
How many trillion? Apple, how many trillion? Please tell us.
It's over 3 trillion. It's over 3 trillion.
Oh, my God.
Over 3 trillion. So Apple, also a 3 trillion company, trading more or less at his highs. And NVIDIA, we all know the story there. Also another company that hit 3 trillion this year. The combined three of those three companies inside the S&P 500 is currently carrying a weight of 22%. Three companies, S&P 500. By the way, when you refer to the MSCI world, a lot of people tend to think that's the world. They're more or less right. That's 87% of the world because it's mostly developed countries. But inside the MSCI world index, the S&P 500 carries a weight of 72%. So those three companies pretty much are Very close. Well,
about a quarter of the world, in other words. I mean, I'm not a great mathematician, but an enormous amount of the world's monetary value when it comes to stock markets and market capitalization and pension funds and investments and everything is these little companies, which were tiny companies. Do you know how much it's gone up since it was founded in 1999, NVIDIA? Have you any idea? When it listed at 5 cents and it went down from 5 cents to 2 cents or something, it's gone up 592,000% since 1999. Stick that in your article, Mr. Lowe, learned man that you are.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Incredible. That is, well, look it up, but that's what I heard. From its low to its high of a couple of days ago.
But that's what I mean. And you know, Lindsay, that's where the stories are so similar. The one is the internet is going to take over the world. The other one is AI is going to take over the world. The one story actually played out, and they were 100% correct.
Yes.
But the valuations. You just can't. I mean, this morning we had a debate. Now, NVIDIA is trading at absolute absurd. You know,
what is the PE? Let's break it down to things that I can understand. The price to earnings ratio in US dollar terms. What is NVIDIA? 150, 200, 250? What is it?
So as we currently sit here, it's trending at a historic peak. Okay, given it's not a 200. Remember, this is a 3 trillion company. So, but I mean, it's trading at a 74 times multiple.
That's still huge. Now,
yeah. Okay. So now a lot of people say, but they're growing. Yes, they're growing. But you know what's another thing that's growing? It's their competitors.
Mm.
Yeah, but they're making chips. They're making chips that nobody else, and you can only use these chips for these AI, you know, machines. For how long? You know how quickly technology changes, you know, in the world currently. Next month, there will be some alternatives. I'm going to use the same example. Tesla trading at a 50 times multiple. It's most of the people say, well, they're so far advanced in the electric vehicle space. It's just unbelievable. Well, look at the electric vehicle space.
China and have a look at what they're doing.
That's it. They strides ahead. So let's just use the example of Tesla. And you know, I know there's going to be a lot of people that jump on me now because I know there's a... The Elon Musk followers is like the Bitcoin followers. You sound like you're negative on the company and they just, you know, but all hell break loose. Tesla, I mean, so they're trading at 50 times multiple. Let's use the example. That pretty much says, in layman's terms, by buying the share price today, it's going to take you 50 years of profits today to repay your share price.
Hmm.
Now,
you see, that puts it into perspective for any person who doesn't understand the stock market, of which I consider myself one. That is beautifully put. Just put that in your article as well. And that makes you understand the basics of investing. Buy low, sell high. If in 50 years' time the earnings have gone up as much as they are now, then the share price will justify its current valuation. Good. That's what you're saying.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm saying. And you can do it when your earnings or profits for the layman, if your profits is growing, you know, 30-40% per annum because you're growing it off low. But now suddenly you start getting competition from China. Competition from Germany. Yeah, you've got Volkswagen, you've got BMW, you've even got, you know, the likes of Porsches. People are ranting and raving about the, you know, Porsches inroads they made in the EV space. And now they can't grow their earnings with, you know, 30 to 40%. They can only grow it by 20, which is great. You know, 20 is fantastic. But 20 only really justify, let's call it a PE of 25 times. Now, for share price to go from a historic PE from 50 times to 25 times, which is still high. 25 is not a low PE.
It's still relatively high historically. Yeah.
Correct. So for a company to go from a 50 times PE to a 25 times PE basically mean the share price needs to halve, needs to lose 50% of its – and that – And I don't want to sound cynical. I'm not saying that's what I, but that's effectively what Lindsay just referred to earlier in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Was that's what effectively happened in March 2000, what, 2001? I can't remember which
it was
one.
2000. It was 2000. It was March 2000. I lost my job in March 2000. That, so it's shut up. Inextricably etched on my memory. But anyway, go on.
Your PE was a bit high on that stage.
My PE was through the roof, and so all sorts of other things. But anyway, the point is that the world changed in that first quarter of the year. Yeah,
it realized that these growth trajectories that we've seen, these growth forecasts, is not going to be able to be met, and that's where the music stops. Mm. And when the music stops, and I think you said it beautifully. You started off the show tonight by saying, guys, just when you're in doubt, just do nothing.
If you're a football fan, turn on the television this evening and watch the four beautiful games that are coming up. And I want to bring up two things now, which sort of embellishes what we've been saying, because you're a wise man, Skulk. You said the phrase déjà vu, which to me, with my rudimentary French, means already. Déjà is already, and vu is part of the word to see, voir. It means already seen. And if you have a look at it on the internet, it says déjà vu means a feeling of having already experienced the present situation. Very important. Let me repeat it. Déjà vu means a feeling of having already experienced the present situation. And the other one is from the president by the name of Harry S. Truman, US president. He said famously, there is nothing new in the world except the history you do not know. It goes on to say, and I have to say this because it's terribly important for any investor, in our constantly evolving world, it is easy to assume that everything we encounter is new and groundbreaking. Yet, former US President Harry S. Truman once proclaimed, as I said, nothing new in the world except the history you do not know. It's a profound quote, and it captures the essence of the human experience. And it goes on to say, again, very, very important, Truman's quote serves as a reminder to dig deeper into our historical roots, seeking both the familiar and unfamiliar narratives that have shaped the world we inhabit. In other words, it doesn't matter. NVIDIA and the companies of 100 years ago during the Industrial Revolution and before, they're the same. And things will always turn out the same. They'll become overvalued and they'll come down, Skulk. And I want you to add that to your excellent article that will be published in the next couple of days, please. That's my rant.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the addition. I will definitely look at it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right, let's get on with the markets now, because we're boring people who are not as philosophical as we are. I'm going to have a look at the markets. Enough. I like the fact that we're talking macro rather than micro companies. I was going to come up with something with would you like chicken or chips? In other words, would you like rainbow chickens or NVIDIA? Which you might actually tell. So maybe you want chicken and chips. That's not bad, is it?
But that's a good one.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I consider it yours as well, if you want to put that into anything. And by the way, you're going to promote this podcast this evening on your social media following, because it's been a good one. Okay, dollar rand, 18.24. British pound against the rand is 23.03. Euro rand is 1948. The dollar and the other currencies slightly weaker against the mighty rand. A euro dollar is 106.82, which is euro that is a quarter of a percent weaker against the greenback. Gold price 2303. It's suddenly recovered. It's still down $13 on the day, but it's above 2300 again. Taking a breather, but don't you worry about that. Come September, this thing will be 2500. That's me, not Skulk, talking. Nor PSG Wealth. The platinum price, interesting, 1020, up 3 2/3%, or $36 an ounce. Palladium flat, though, down 7 to $927 an ounce. Other commodities, really, really big ones. Brent crude oil is $84.58, down 0.5%, and West Texas crude down 0.6%, $80.33. Now, what else have we got here? All important S&P 500 futures. They're down a quarter of a percent, 55.24. Can't believe I'm saying 55.24. Do you remember after in the crisis of 2006 to 2008? I think it was a two-year crisis. The S&P went to 666, Skulk. Now look at it. And that's 666. Mm. It's now 5,525, an astonishing run. US 10-year is 4.32%. The South African 10-year bond, 10.05%. And Bitcoin, 61,438, which is down 2/3%. Yeah, interesting time, Skulk. Times for reflection, I think.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I mean, as we went into, I mean, we're reaching the final stretch of the first half. The I can't believe it.
I can't
seriously
either.
Can't
believe. Next week is the second half of the year.
Yeah. Correct. That's what's it? Friday. I think Friday. Friday is the Friday is the final trading day of the first half of 2024. I mean, it's just crazy to think. But I mean, let's take the first half. And when you take the first half, and you think the surprises of this year. So the first surprise everybody would say. I mean, you need to know. I love my gold, but if I told you we would reach the $2,400 per ounce mark in the beginning of the year, you would have most probably you wouldn't have laughed at me, but because I know you sort of share similar sentiments.
I'm a gold bug. I just don't talk
about $2,400. So that was the first one. And the second one, we had this discussion, I think, in the first week of January, where we said, well, when I look at all the reports of all the big financial institutions, the Goldman Sachs, the Citigroups, JP Morgan's, all the biggest of big all over the world, there was a few general, let's call it, things that stood out for me. And the one that pretty much consensus was referring to the S&P 500. Most of them saw a decline in the S&P 500. Mm. I think a flat S&P 500 would have been a win for most of those big financial houses. But I recall it was anything between 0% and -5% on the S&P 500. With high interest rate, most probably the U.S. going into a recession. That's another thing that hasn't happened. And that was – well, here we're sitting – We're sitting with a MSCI All Country World Index. Now, I know that's not just the S&P 500, but they make up close to 60% of the MSCI All Country World Index. That's up close to 12% in dollar terms year to date. Another surprise, I mean, first week of February, I run on a weekly basis. I run that country ETF, and that's just the MSCI different country indices,
yes,
which they put in ETFs, which just makes it easier for anybody to follow. Now, I, on a weekly basis, I distribute that data just to compare countries with other countries, and all in dollar terms. So the first week of February, South Africa was the third worst performing country in the world.
And now?
Now, I'm not going to check that first. They're now in the top 15.
And
I reckon that was Saturday, and I think they're getting closer to 10th position. And it just shows you know, the surprises and how we're not a tanker country. We're a speedboat country. We can pretty much, you know, change course and direction very, very quickly. So, few surprises, and just to not try to look too deeply into a crystal ball, because nobody knows what's going to happen. But the second half of the year, I do foresee being a bit more difficult. With the run-up to the U.S. elections, I don't really foresee markets really collapsing, and that won't be good for you know, parties that go and try and get people to vote for them. So I think there will be everything will be done to try and keep things.
UK election, French election, US election. Yeah. Will you be awake at 3 o'clock South African time on Friday morning to watch the first presidential debate between the two old, as
I
you call it, it's called old bullies, I think you call it in South Africa. I really, really think that Biden's going to slaughter him, because I've been watching some very, very anti-Trump rhetoric on social media this week. And I won't make any excuses for saying that I dislike the fellow intensely. I don't hate anyone in the world, because hate is too strong a word, but I dislike him intensely. Going back very quickly to South Africa, and you say it might be a difficult second half of the year, I've got a book in front of me now, a slim volume, which I bought from the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. It's called Van Gogh, A Power Seething. It's by a chap called Julian Bell. And when I look at South Africa, if things are administered properly, South Africa is a power seething, an economic power seething. Am I being too sentimental here?
No, you're not. You're not. I think we still don't know. You know, things like what the final parliament going to look like. There's a few things that we, I remain carefully optimistic.
Good.
Really.
Excellent.
Carefully optimistic.
Well, on that note, you're going to give us the JSE closing indices on a very quiet day. And you are also, at the end of that, you're going to say, my article will be in this publication tomorrow. And tonight, I'm going to promote this, which is a really, really good discussion that we've had. So, but anyway, first, the JSE closing indices, please.
So the JSE today closed, as you mentioned, was a fairly quiet day. Markets closed at 79,252 points. That's down 41 basis points. Resources, they bucked the trend. They are a little bit up, 58,786 points. Like I mentioned, up 21 basis points. Industrials down 55 basis points, and financials down 78 basis points. SA Property still continues its recent strength.
iProp.
In the day up, 32. iProp, correct. Up the day 32 basis points. When I look at the volume traded for today, not your 39 billion that we saw yesterday, but still 22 billion on a quiet day. I'll take that any day of the week. So quiet day. I think we're gonna be quiet for the next few days. I think PCE numbers are coming out of the US. I recall, if I'm not mistaken, it's Friday. I think that's going to be a major one. Personal consumption is the biggest expense within the US GDP, and I think we're going to be all be looking at that one to get some direction on if. And if, when the U.S. are going to go into a recession.
In an hour's time, this podcast will be put up because my editor, bless her, is cooking Mexican food for a bunch of friends at the moment. So she said she might be a little bit late. But in an hour's time, this podcast will be on. And it's been a really, really good one. I've enjoyed it enormously. Where can we read your words of wisdom in the next couple of days, Skunk?
It will be in the News 24. It's been finished, been good, but hopefully it's already on. Otherwise, be on the lookout. News 24. It should be available in the next few days.
Very good indeed. Skunk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.